Welcome to Dave Talks Some More, a podcast at the intersection of humor and, you know. Hey, I'm your host, Dave, and together we'll explore a riveting world of mundane topics with unparalleled indifference. So get ready for a riveting journey through, whatever. This is Dave Talks Some More. All right, far out. Thank you for joining us for yet another episode. We're here after a week off with a unscheduled thing. So it's been a couple of weeks.
I've been practicing.
Yeah. What have you? Yeah.
I want
to hear about your prep. I want to hear about your workouts to get this thing in show condition. You've had 2 weeks to pull it all together. How has it gone for you the last 2 weeks? What's been going on? Catch us up.
Oh, I was just saying that, Dave.
Oh, okay.
You can go ahead.
You've done nothing. No, all right, good. Well, thank you. It's going to be a short show.
From the beginning, I've always just showed up here and sat down.
So. Well, we had
Practiced sitting down.
Yeah, well, and you do it so well.
Thank you.
We had a guest that had to drop out more or less at the last minute. I'm happy to say that it was a medical emergency and not a car-related emergency. I think this was legit. That's kind of an inside joke because we did have in weeks past we had a guest that dropped out. Oh, that's terrible. What happened? Oh, my car broke down
11 times.
Yeah, my car broke down. What happened? My axle broke. And we were like, come on, you've got to, that's like saying I ran out of oil or the steering wheel fell off my car.
And I think it was a female, right?
Yeah. I mean,
quasi-female.
A guy would have come up with a much
exactly
more believable
lie. What part of a car have I heard before? Axle.
Yeah. My carburetor is on the fritz. Really? What's wrong with your carburetor?
Click.
It's not berating. I'm not sure exactly. That's why it's not. Yeah. I don't know.
The flux capacitor is out.
So our guest that dropped out, fortunately, none of those problems. Instead, just a major medical emergency. So
fortunately.
Yeah, I feel better about that. Gosh. It sounded legit. So all the best to the missing guest, and we'll soldier on without him.
Because we don't call in sick.
No. No, we've been pretty steady on this. No, actually, I did have to call in sick one time because my voice absolutely went to zero.
Oh yeah,
but other than that, been doing well, been feeling healthy for as old as we are. So, and you've been hitting the gym. I'm proud of you. Just killing it. Good for you.
You know, I'm feeling buff.
Yeah. I have absolutely nothing to report that's been going on for the last 2 weeks. I had notes written down for last week, for example, to talk about the various SEC school spring practices. But now that it's almost the end of April, I don't know. Well, I will say this. I thought it was interesting. And I won't explore this as much as I otherwise would have. I thought it was interesting that Ole Miss, rather than having a spring practice, just had the Ole Miss Grove Bowl, which was just a 7-on-7 game. And they had a hot dog eating contest, which always irritates me when the thin guy.
Joey Chestnut.
Yeah, and they had the Joey Chestnut. It was not morbidly obese. You would think a circus performer would win that every time, but he came in and killed it.
It's my understanding that the fatter you are, the actual harder it is to expand your stomach because there's fat all around it, apparently.
Well, so, yeah, but the other 364 days of the year, if you're fat, I know. It expands every day. I'm not sure that I'm...
Well, to the level that it has to it. those. I mean, there's a little, there was a little Oriental,
that's right,
lady.
Yeah.
That could just, man, she could just chunk them. I mean, it was amazing. It was, I mean, she just like 50 of them, and she couldn't have weighed 100 pounds. There used to be, and I still think there might be, at Burger and Blues off of County Line up there.
Okay.
You know,
I know what you're talking about. I don't even know where you're going.
The Whammy Challenge.
Okay. Oh, God, yeah.
Which was like a massive hamburger, right, a pound of fries, and a malt.
Yeah.
I did that.
Did you?
I did. And that's.
How did that go for you?
Not well. I mean,
first of all, did you finish it? Did you meet the challenge?
And you have a time limit.
Right.
And there is this very, very real thing, as real as the fake moon landing and as real as the flat earth, that is foreshadowing.
Right.
Yeah. For
This is the conspiracy part of the show.
This is the conspiracy theory show.
Yeah, so get ready for that.
So, you know, I was kind of prepped up, and it's $50. It's like a $50 burger, but you get it free if you eat it all. I was rocking along. I mean, this is a breeze, and I'm eating it, and the fries, and even a little bit of the malt, and the clock is ticking, and then there's something very real. Like I said, it's called the meat wall, and that's what the title of the show should be, the meat wall.
It would be a big hit on Pornhub, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, that's our demographic, isn't it?
Let's
Dave talks the meat wall.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'd have you. It clicks all over the place.
Anyway, let me quickly get you back on the subject.
Where were we?
You were hitting the meat wall.
Okay, moving on.
You were choking on the meat wall, eating. Okay. And so there you were.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, and I mean, I had eaten probably 90% of that burger.
Wow. Okay.
And almost all the fries, and there
you're
was
just one malt away.
And when I say, I probably had three more bites of that burger.
Okay.
And some more fries and stuff. And when I say I looked at that, it was three big bites now. It might have been four, but whatever. And it's mainly just a big old hamburger patty, you know?
Right.
And when I say I could not take another bite, I mean, I couldn't take another bite. I mean,
you hit the wall.
That was the meat wall.
That was it.
There was not another piece of that meat going into this body. And
not down your mouth, not down your throat.
And so just period. I could not eat anymore. And so I did not. There's also something called the meat sweats.
Well,
later, I mean, you just got so much meat.
Yeah, that was my next follow-up question was, so an hour or three after the challenge, how are you feeling?
The next 24 hours were rough.
Tell me about that.
No. But you can imagine. Yeah. I mean, there was
all too well.
Wow. I mean, it was rough. How did we get?
Joey Chestnut. Yeah, we're talking about the hot dog eating contest.
All right, thank you. And I asked and there was a record on the board that who had finished the Whammy Challenge at Burger and Blues.
Like, that's something to be proud of.
I was trying.
Okay.
I wanted the shirt. They give you a shirt. And you get on the board. It was exciting. I mean, I was looking forward to it. I did not make it, but somebody did it in like a stupid amount of time.
Right.
I mean, real quick. And I said, who did that? And they said there was this little female from Wisconsin who kind of did professional eating or whatever, and she polished it off in like half the time.
Right.
And she's like 120 pound female, ate it, and I could not. And so there is something about having space,
right?
You know, I mean, down there that to expand. Like, there's nothing else down there. I mean, I have this washboard. I got a lot of muscles, and down. And there's, what's the laughing about in here?
Go ahead.
We're not filming this. You were talking about all the muscles
you have down there.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. Oh, okay. I mean, fat and all that stuff too. But I mean, when I say down there, I'm talking about my gut area around. This is going off the rails
it hurts so bad.
All right. Thank you for.
Yeah, I'm hurt that there is such a thing as professional eaters. I feel like that's something that I could have tried out for.
And they didn't tell me that.
And had medium success. Yeah. I could have been AA. Professional eating league. I don't know what you would get for that, but
you know, food. No, I'm aggravated as well that we didn't, at least I wasn't brought up knowing that there was a potential career in professional eating or in a professional fisherman. Either one of those.
Yeah, professional deer hunters.
Yeah, that's true.
I find that in professional gamers.
Oh, YouTubers.
Yeah, professional YouTubers.
So I asked my son what he wanted to be when he was 16, and I was like, you know, lawyer,
right?
So, policeman, no, YouTuber.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you, son.
How's it going?
Well,
I mean, it's, you know, why not that? Because you're more likely to become a millionaire YouTubing or professional fishing than you are, I was going to say you're more likely to become a millionaire that way than you are a professional fisherman, professional hunter, the manly sports. So, you know, what the hell? You're certainly not going to do it in football or baseball.
Yeah.
So, you know, God forbid you ride a desk for 40 years like some of us chose to do.
Just be an influencer.
I think I'd like to give that a shot. You know,
yeah.
My thought about the Ole Miss hot dog eating contest is, you know, this being the SEC, I thought, you know, that gives some scope for regional, like Tennessee could have the possum eating contest and just had these possum, you know, or Texas A&M could have armadillo eating contests. And then I started thinking, what would they have in Alabama? You know, like tripe eating contest. And I thought that's not fair to Alabama. They, you know, what would fit like if they weren't going to have spring practice there, what would they do in lieu of having a hot dog eating contest or a possum eating contest? And I thought they could have like one of those mass wedding ceremonies, you know, like the cults do, you know, like a big cousin marrying contest, you know, in their stadium. And just line them up. That to me, that's a very Alabama football thing to do. And here's an alternate. This will fit you. They could have a cousin child support hearing series where all day long they go ahead and start establishing child support orders for all the cousin baby daddies.
In Alabama.
Well,
I was thinking snake handling.
Well, I'm thinking out the box now that they've got a new coach, they've got to go back to redrumming up fan interest. I'm just trying to, like you say, think outside the box and think of what could they do to get people excited again.
God, I hope they go 8-4. I just can't wait to 7-5. If
you're in the South.
And then they will bring out the cousin there and things.
The hatred is 12 months out of the year. It never stops.
I really hope they stink.
So I'll keep moving. The way that we ended it 2 weeks ago, not that I listened to the show, and I didn't, of course, but we were going to have, you remember we talked about Claude 3 a little bit, AI, and Claude 3 was going to write a novel for us.
Yeah.
Yes. Now you remember.
I do.
It turns out as soon as Claude 3 came out, GBT, you know, like ChatGBT, you've heard of that. That's ChatGBT3.
Yeah.
They immediately upgraded to ChatGBT4. And so I entered a prompt, you know, the AI is just as good as your prompt, only as good as your prompts. And so, you know, I talked about the notes that you had, which I have right here. Tim Hanks, plane crash on an island. He has a volleyball and he lives in a cave and then constructs a raft after 2 years and has a lot of challenges and eventually gets out with a raft, created a novel on ChatGPT, really didn't produce a whole lot, I'm sorry to say. It gave me kind of a short story, but it was a little wonky. And then Claude 3, which I had high hopes for, I think I hit some ethics wall because it wanted to talk about all the ways that it could help me write the novel. And I that's not what the project was.
You know, all this AI stuff, it has these parameters, this ethics walls,
the
woke walls.
The woke wall is a real thing.
All these AIs that chop up, they chop out all my trans and all this, you know, politically incorrect stuff. Even when Sean was here last time, Sean got one of our guests. I mean, it chopped all that out, and I was just spitting out straight truth, man.
Well, what the only thing that survived.
That's the first time I've ever used that. I mean, I've put spit straight truth.
Yeah. Well,
it almost sounded like I'm hip and young.
Well, you will be spitting a lot of straight truth today, I suppose. For the first time ever, it looks like you've prepared.
Oh.
And even brought in a file, which is a little intimidating because I'm not used to seeing you prepared in any line of work. and now here you are with a file of maybe even paper inside of it. Not tire receipts and oil change papers. So you are going to get a full model of the world according to various theories of hidden truths.
Well, we would discuss some conspiracy theories, and I think we should loop back around when the guest that was going to be here, Sean, does come back, because he is a fan of the conspiracy theory.
He's a believer.
Yeah, and because I mean, there's a lot of topics like the eclipse we just had, which is obviously didn't happen. That was just a Hollywood deal in cahoots with the government.
So, sure,
I mean, we can all agree on that, right?
Well, yeah, all know that didn't really happen.
Thank you. I mean, so
why not?
I mean, that didn't really.
I got to give you some rope to hang.
We can all agree on that. Just like with the.
Well, do you want to start with flat Earth? Because that of all the conspiracy theories, flat Earth and we didn't land on the moon are probably my two favorites. I've had cases with like actual court cases with flat Earth people.
I had a mother-in-law who was a flat Earth people.
Wow. How did those conversations go?
Yeah, those are some interesting Thanksgiving dinners. But, I mean, she was legit. I mean, as far as it's the dome theory. You have the dome theory, the firmament
deal. Yeah, you have to explain to those who don't know kind of how, or I'll do it, kind of how the whole flat Earth theory works.
You know, there's a schism in the flat Earth
world
versus absolute flat earthers versus the domers, because the domers wouldn't believe in the perpetual ice caps that keep you from falling off. It's a dome.
So, oh, yeah.
I mean, there's some disagreement within, you know, the flat Earth community, because like the domers would like, you know, what we see is just really nothing more than a projection, like at least on the dome, I mean, the stars and everything else, and
the universe is just a projection of the dome. Being projected from what source?
I know, some deity.
We need a flat earther to actually come in.
It's not going to be my former mother-in-law.
Well, no.
Sorry. I don't think I could get that invite to work.
We'll lose you.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to have her on.
But the one that I had the court case with, the theory was that the Earth is a disc and there was a wall of ice around the disc. And so when you think you're going to Antarctica or the Arctic Circle, really, you're just hitting the ice wall, and you're just walking around the ice wall unbeknownst to you. And if you keep walking far enough, you'll walk back to water, which is, I guess that's true in how I understand the globe. And, you know, it's just got this complicated idea to explain all of the physics. And
they do a decent job.
Yeah, it's
except for the circumnavigation and pilots and stuff. Well, that's where they have a problem.
But if you have the map, you can see how it's all possible. It's one of those things where it's kind of the snow globe of cultism. And I've always compared cults to a snow globe. If you live inside the snow globe, you think you're living in reality. Mm-hmm. And anybody who's outside of it can see, obviously, that is a load of junk. But if you're inside it, you say, are these not trees? Is this not snow? Is this not a house? Are these other people? And I see streets and hills. And this is the world. This is reality. And how do you get out of the snow globe and realize how the reality really is? And how do you know, even if you say, well, I'm not in that snow globe, how do you know that you're not in your own snow globe of, you know, whatever your faith is or your scientific belief or your, you know, everybody's got their own mental whatevers. And how do you know what's real and what is just your so strongly held perception of reality? How do you know that you know what you know really is right? But the flat earthers seems like they should be able to punch their way out of that bag, but they're not quite able to do it. And part of what they do, of course, is my other favorite theory, which is the we didn't really land on the moon.
And in uniquely, those two conspiracy theories have to be attached almost.
They're dependent on each other.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like a two for one special. I mean, it's pretty cool, actually, if you think about it. I mean, I wonder if there are any that believe in one and don't believe in the other.
Well, we need to get at least one on, and then they can tell us about the community. Because I, you know, when this case was going on, you know, thank God for YouTube, because that's the window to the true window to the world. And start watching these flat earthers YouTube channels with their flat earth globe. What? Yes, they have them. And their conventions and their speakers bureaus. Oh, yeah. And it's just, you've got
the flat earth society. You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah. I mean, it is a legitimate community of kooks and quacks, but still a community.
That sounded judgmental.
Sure, I'm judging it hard.
Are you saying you don't? No credence.
Don't subscribe. I'm now, not in the snow globe.
Do you still have that client's number that we could, you know?
I absolutely do. Yeah. We can get there.
Oh, that would be exciting. Because, I mean, how do you know?
So you don't know.
Well, I think, and like I said, I think they do a reasonably decent job. And I do not subscribe to the flat earth by any stretch because I just don't know how, you know, all right, there are conspiracies, obviously. You know, I mean, I'm kind of throw them out every now and then. But I don't know how you, and I do believe in government conspiracies more than just run-of-the-mill conspiracies, because I don't think you're run-of-the-mill, like pilots. I mean, it would require pilots to either be dumb or in on the conspiracy in right. large part. And that just doesn't
seem likely.
It seems very unlikely. And so, I mean, you know, in same way with the moon landing. Now, I can always believe the government is part of a conspiracy. And so NASA would be part of that. But it would also involve, I mean, hundreds of...
Oh, thousands.
I mean, thousands of other humans that really are tangentially
best. Who would know? And who would have been in on the staging, on the lighting, on the propping of the dissemination, and who know that the rockets actually didn't take off and, you know, the whole bit. It's going to be a short show if all we're going to talk about is obviously baloney conspiracies. But you have some that you actually do believe in. Well, like your Michelob Ultra.
What is it called? It's not Michelob.
Okay.
The MK Ultra now. Remind me what that is.
Well,
that's the government's program, also with Operation Chaos, I believe, as well, back in the in the 60s. From
the Get Smart show. Yeah, I remember that.
But it was two-part. Ted Kaczynski, potentially Charles Manson. Jim Jones might have been tangentially involved as well in the mind control experiments, the LSD deal back in it started in the 50s. It might even started in the late 40s. In an attempt for the government to see how far they can go with mind control for their own purposes, and then leaking into trying to bring down the counterculture and the civil rights movement, and hippie movement, anti-war movement.
What was the idea? What was the great idea that they came up with to control the minds of the public?
Well,
and
the
bring
argument,
down the counterculture.
The argument would be on the family, the Manson conspiracy theory that Charles Manson somehow managed to buy a bunch of property out in California, get out of jail repeatedly it's unclear how he managed to stay out of prison, and that he was part of the MK Ultra program that the government wanted to discredit the hippie anti-war. And his helter skelter things start a black, war and all that, was played a part in potentially undermining the civil rights and anti-war movement, and make the hippie anti-war movement less appealing. They used LSD and other drugs and other mind control aspects through the CIA and the FBI, and that he utilized that and maybe even lost his mind doing it as well because he's a little nuts.
So the idea was to give the hippies LSD so that they would become more conservative about
actually
war?
And all the documents involved in MK Ultra and as well as Chaos have been destroyed. There's only just remnants of it through the Freedom of Information.
That's so helpful. When you're looking for evidence and there isn't any.
In Operation Chaos, between the Black Panthers, they actively sought to create rivalries and et cetera. Heck, here's a crazy conspiracy that the government made concerted efforts to try to have Martin Luther King commit suicide. Does that sound weird?
Seems unlikely. Oh,
here we go.
We go to the file, ladies and gentlemen.
The actual 1964 suicide letter mailed from the FBI, uncontradicted, to Dr. Martin Luther King, inviting him to commit suicide within 30 days, or all of his nefarious activities with other women, et cetera, and how he has just ruined the memory of Christianity and preaching and the civil rights movement. And literally the FBI also sent a letter to his wife trying to get him to commit suicide. And that sounds like wild conspiracy theory that the government would literally, a private citizen, but it absolutely happened. Anybody who goes, even on the conspiracy level of when he was actually assassinated, you're just crazy to think that it was some government conspiracy. Heck, they've been trying to get him to kill himself, the government. Well, so why wouldn't you think that they were involved in
this assassination? I'm not sure I followed the idea that they were going to get Coretta King to talk Martin King into killing
this is to
himself.
Him. No, this is to him.
Okay.
No, there were separate letters at different other times to her, to letting her know anonymously that her husband was doing this and messing around with so and so and doing that because he kind of
he got around
And this was the FBI doing it. This was not just, you know,
random guys.
I mean, the FBI, I mean, they're the same way with Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X. The FBI was actively fomenting that the Nation of Islam schism between the two that ultimately ended up in Malcolm X being assassinated or killed as well. So,
well, it is true that there were right wing groups who more or less had an open bounty on Martin Luther King, and somebody finally took him up on it. I mean, that's known.
Or is it?
Yeah, they took it up on him.
I don't know if the government was involved or not, but nobody can certainly say that it's far-fetched. I mean, they spent a lot of time trying to get rid of him.
Well, it seems like if you're going to go with the grandfather of all conspiracy theories in America, which is the JFK assassination.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, that's the grandfather of them all. And I don't, please don't drag me into that.
Oh, that's, you don't, that was
but,
next.
Okay, well, but if they're going to pull that rabbit out of the hat in 1964 and say, look, if we want to get rid of this famous public official, so let's just get our CIA agents in various places and, you know, with high-powered rifles and just sniper him down. If they were able to figure that out and do it in a moving car in 1964, why are they going and never get caught? Why are they going 5 years later going to go to all the trouble to, no, let's fund some other groups and see if we, you know, seems like a lot of sugar for a dime if the CIA wants to kill Martin Luther King in 69. Seems like they already had the blueprint that worked pretty well 5 years earlier. Why all the extra moving parts? And then go catch him. And then go catch the killer. Why do any of that?
Are we on to...
Well, I'm still on the idea that the CIA did the MLK assassination in the summer of 69.
I don't see the sense of that. No, I didn't say that is the case. In fact, I would probably think that they didn't. But people who, you know, throw that out there and believe that, I mean, the thought that that's insane or out of the, you know, normal thinking, somebody's out of their mind. I mean, come on. I mean, it's very, very believable. It's about, you know, it's that gaslighting deal. Like, oh, you're crazy for thinking COVID came from the Wuhan lab. I mean, you're nuts. And then, come on, man. I mean, it's more likely than not.
I would say a third of America, at least a third of America, instantly thought this came out of a lab in China.
And then, but anybody instantly who thought that was like, you're crazy, conspiracy, well, but that, nut
but
job.
That was being said by a fifth of America, which was, you know, we know where they're located, was running the, you know, we're going to run you out of town. If you say that out loud, you're a science denier. But that's a much different kettle of fish than to say that the CIA was killing people, was assassinating prominent Americans.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the same way that the United States has internationally, I mean, with foreign policy, they try to be almost too cute. They try to get in there and try to really control the minutiae.
There were a lot of murders going on in the all the way back from the 20s to the 60s, and actually had to pass a law to make it illegal for the United States to sponsor international assassinations.
That's why we get third countries to do it for us.
Yeah, yes. Well, and also we're not supposed to be torturing people. Yeah. And which is why we had rendition, so that we could say to our, you know, at the time, friends in, I guess it was Lebanon, Would you mind taking possession of these people and seeing conduct a few interviews of them? We didn't do it. We just handed it over to the Lebanese Secret Service, and you know, whatever they found out is what they found out. But you know, that has a history going, I would say, back to the 1920s. But I also would say pretty well died out. And went no later than the 1980s Iran-Contra thing with Reagan. That was so discredited. And right. I know they had, what was the gun-running incident that they were calling Fast and Furious?
Yeah, Fast and Furious.
And I never really got my arms around that because it was just, I've had all the government conspiracies. But, you know, the idea that, on an international level, we're doing what we assume that Russia and Iran and China are doing. Yeah, sure, why would we not? But domestically, it's a hard sell to me that people are getting murdered by the CIA or the FBI. That seems like a stretch to me. Unless you run Pedophile Island. And if you... And, if you're on Pedophile Island, you're absolutely in the crosshairs. But otherwise, I'm just not saying it.
Well, I'm not saying that. I mean, I think it's kind of like the rendition thing. But domestically, I mean, they're not intelligence agencies and the FBI and stuff are not, I don't believe, actively assassinating Americans. I just think that if you foment, you know, enough division between the Black Panthers in the 1960s and actively plant false stories about, you know, so-and-so sleeping with the other leader of, I mean, they're actively doing that. And, you know, hey, maybe some violence breaks up, maybe discord splits them up, or maybe the Manson family, you know, he'll take, well, put pigs out there. Yeah, maybe that happens. Yeah, maybe it does.
Yeah, you know, the idea that government and the White House are censoring people, we know that that's the case, or that they're intentionally creating divisions. We know for a fact that that's the case. You know, when Elon Musk takes over Twitter and released files from the White House, but communications from the White House to Twitter, and apparently addressed to other social media companies as well, directing them or politely requesting of them to censor speech, which when private individual or private company does it, I don't know that that quite qualifies as censorship. Certainly not First Amendment censorship, but the idea that the White House...
Now, back that up.
Well, the news story is that the White House is reaching out to social media companies, Twitter for sure,
one of them,
and saying, we want you to censor or scrub or fact-check or whatever it is. Here's a list of social media accounts. And you can guess what kind of voices that they didn't want heard in the public domain.
And I might add, that was a conspiracy theory at one time.
Right. And then it turned out to be true.
Shocker.
Yeah. Well, nobody is shocked by the idea that people in political power want to shut up the voices that they don't want to hear. That's no surprise to me at all. Nixon wanted to bomb the New York Times.
And
Johnson, you know, wanted to bomb everybody and just about did, you know, so that's not new. To say that that's censorship, sure, but it's private censorship and it doesn't impinge upon the First Amendment.
I disagree.
Unless the government says you have to do it or they put the stick in front of you.
Well, that's what it sounds like.
And
they
not
did.
The care. Well, it's, you know, from the news story, and yes, I did read some news on that. Hard to believe. You know, it was a remember who, you know, Jack Dorsey was running Twitter at the time, and he's sending these communications out to very much like-minded individuals. He doesn't have to use a stick or a carrot to say these right-wing people are spreading They're science deniers. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And they're election deniers. You remember that? And, you know, these people are liars. They're spreading propaganda. And, you know, to protect the truth and protect the democracy, if we don't shut these people down, they're going to overthrow democracy. That's 4 years ago in, 3 years ago in 2021, that comes out. And, you know, we're still hearing that now. The impulse to control what people are saying, I don't think that has diminished one bit.
Oh, no.
And it won't be until you get White House records to find out, if ever you will.
Well, there have been plenty of emails that have had been produced relating to the meetings that the government had with Twitter and other social media sites. And I would argue that definitionally, if the government comes to an entity such as Twitter or Facebook or whatever, that depends in large part on the benevolence of government to exist and continue to exist, and they come to you and say this needs to happen, or it just does, that impinges upon First Amendment issues, just definitionally at that point.
I see the argument. It becomes really hard to draw the line.
Yeah, I would draw it right there. Now, I'm not saying when I say it impinges on First Amendment issues, there could be limited exceptions, you know, the fire and the crowded theater deal, where it is an appropriate government intervention in the public sphere, which I would, or the public square, as Twitter now, I would agree is. And there could be a reason for the government to come in, but it'd be a very, very limited slice of potentiality where that would be appropriate. But I think immediately it crosses into First Amendment analysis at that point. But
well,
you could disagree and be wrong.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I buy all that. I'd have to process that a little bit. You also have the Congress considering the bill to, to ban TikTok. Not sure if they're banning it or exactly how that's supposed to go. And the bill has, to my knowledge, the Ukraine bill passed this weekend.
Yeah.
TikTok bill did not pass. So I understand. And does that not have some First Amendment implications? I understand why they say they're doing it is because it's a Chinese security, whatever.
See, and I just don't know the truth to any of that.
I don't either. Disease, fine, no problem with that. Selling uranium mines to the Soviet Union, sure, no problem. But a successful social media company that's not owned by Americans can't have it.
I mean, Lord, we're selling most of our farmland to China and Bill Gates, I guess. Yeah. And they're actually getting a monopoly on, I don't know, everything that we need to survive in the 21st century across the world. I mean, from the batteries to cell phones and everything else, but we're worried about TikTok. And again, I'm not a fan of TikTok, especially as it relates to our youth, but I don't have any idea whether or not they're doing large-scale spying through TikTok.
Sure they are.
All right. I mean,
sure. Well, if nothing else, large scale data mining.
Yeah,
and there's no doubt about that. And to be able to know, it's not worrisome, it's creepy at least. To be able to build a profile of you just based on your demographics. Here's where you live. Here's how old you are. Here's what you do for a living. If they can get access to your health records, which why can't they? If they can get access to your financial information, which why can't they? And to be able to say, I can tell you because there have been 10,000 yous before you, and I know what those other 10,000 versions of you have done because I got the data. And therefore, because I know what all the other versions of you have done, that means I've got a pretty good idea of what you're going to do and how you're going to act. That's an enormously useful tool that some have and the rest of us don't. I can understand the idea that it would be nice to control it. The problem is, if you're going to control it, you're going to give it to the government. I mean, my God, have you met the government? Do you know the people that are in the government? I do. They're not that smart. And all they're going, all that really happens is you're putting all this data or information, or let's say power, into a lockbox, and then you're going to give a handful of politicians the ability to sell that lockbox to the highest bidder. Our friend is going to take care of all this data responsibly for us, with partnerships. That's the preferred term now. Partnerships with governmental entities are going to analyze this data. Well, that's the same thing as putting it all in a lockbox, and only our friends at Microsoft or whatever the company is, they're going to have that, and the rest of you have to compete in the dark without having all that predictive data. And it is enormously powerful. I mean, that's what AI is this predictive data, and it is enormously powerful. And it is the next revolution, just like the computer revolution in the 1980s. This is a revolution that's happening. The old farts among us don't quite see how big of a deal this is. And I can just barely catch it myself. But it's going to change everything. 10 years from now, you just won't recognize how you live compared to how you live before computers, for example, or cell phones or tablets, or, you know, the whole bit.
I'm going off the grid here shortly.
Well, that's a choice, but you won't be allowed to go off the grid because you won't be able to buy food. You won't be able to buy gasoline. You won't be able to buy parts for your car. You won't be able to...
You sound kind of conspiratorial, Dave.
Well, that's, you know... the governmental tendency is towards control. You know, get ready for a cashless society. That's going to happen, because why would it not? Name one good reason that the government has to not control finance and create a cashless society.
Oh, I agree. In the social credit program, I think they got in China where, you know, they can freeze, sure. Or I guess they did it up in Canada, freezing bank accounts. And
sure.
Even like, you know, Kanye, or I'm sorry, Ye. Is it Ye? I'm old.
Is it Ye? I would know.
Yeah. You know, right. you've heard of Kanye West, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, he's like a Kardashian or something. I don't know.
Was he?
I couldn't tell you a single song that man.
No.
I mean, I would have no earthly idea. But I mean, I think when he said all those things about, I don't know, Jews or Israel or something like that, none of which I know exactly what he said. And I think I heard them, and I wouldn't agree with, I don't know that I'd agree with anything the man ever said, to be honest with you. But he had his bank, I can't even remember which one it was, said, you know, we're closing your accounts.
Really?
Debanking is what it's called. I think it's happened to various folks that, like, you just, I'm like.
Is he the one that's on the run that was?
That's P. Diddy.
Okay.
Oh, my God. We're going to have to black all this out. I'm going to take it all out of this. I'm way too knowledgeable about this. That's P. Diddy, which, again, I couldn't tell you a single song that man ever. Or did he ever?
No, is he
a singer?
What's his story? This is the yeah. You know, because you're young and you might have an idea about what the story is that he was running.
He's like the urban version of Epstein or something.
Yeah,
something like that. I don't know.
When you think about it, it's like, why aren't there dozens of these rings floating around? Because there's plenty of people with money and their own appetites would happily pay for that service and situation.
And everything comes back to conspiracies. That's the vast pedophile ring.
Well, not even pedophile
of the
ring.
World. Pizzagate.
You know, don't even. You know, but the idea that I'm going to set it up so that every other Tuesday night, you know, I'm going to rent out this nice place, and you go in and you just do anything you want with whoever you want. There are enough people with money who would absolutely be be happy to have that. And it's a blackmail opportunity. I can't believe that there's just P. Diddy. I can't believe there's just one or two of those floating around. There's got to be dozens of those.
Well,
scores of those floating around, because it's just such an easy business opportunity. And then turn it around on somebody and just start blackmailing them. How hard can it be?
I mean, I firmly believe that Jeffrey Epstein was a CIA asset or a Mossad asset.
He was somebody's asset.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I don't think there's any doubt. And that I think there's been plenty of blackmailing that goes on. I'm just stunned. I mean, as best as I can tell, in Hollywood, in government, I guess if you get certain level or certain amount of wealth or fame in any of those two entities, government or Hollywood, you have a high likelihood of being a pedophile. I guess I don't understand it. I'm very confused.
Well, yeah,
I really didn't think there was that many of them out there.
Yeah, remember the name of the show that has come out. It's like a Netflix show or whatever it is, about Nickelodeon and you know, all these Disney, you know, whoever it was that was producing kids shows in the I guess the 90s and the 2000s, and turns out lots of these kids were just being totally abused. And, you know, your biggest criteria for working there was how good will you be at grooming children?
I guess it shouldn't come as a surprise on that. It's kind of like they asked the bank robber, why are you robbing banks? Well, that's where the money is. And, why are you, a Nickelodeon or to children's, whatever, minister or
back in my day, you wanted to, if you wanted to molest boys, you joined the Boy Scouts, right? Like a respectable pedophile.
And now you go to Nickelodeon.
Yeah,
that's a whole nother level. I mean, I don't really understand it, but I guess there's many more than you would think. But I don't know about some worldwide conspiracy. I guess there's just a lot of pervs out there, Dave. I mean, I don't know. And the more money you got, I guess it really comes down to, I guess you see it in your line of business on some level. If you've had everything, everything loses its luster. And then
you
have to go for something more extreme or extreme.
I can't imagine a world where a normal person who doesn't have severe deep-seated issues wakes up one day and says, you know what I'd like to do today? I just can't see that.
I can't either. That's why I was so stunned about Pizzagate being true and all that. I'm just kidding. It's not. But it's an interesting – believe it or not, I do not believe all conspiracy theories. And you'd be shocked that I don't even think the JFK assassination was a conspiracy. I actually think Lee Harvey Oswald did it. I think he grabbed a rifle from his garage after being a Castro nut for quite some time, saw an opportunity, which was, pretty common back then. It'd be a lot harder to do now, but security wasn't.
Thanks to him. Thanks a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah, so much harder to kill a president.
That he popped off three rounds from that window, and that he walked out of there with that rifle. People saw him, and that he did it.
So why was Jack Ruby shooting him 24 hours later?
I think Jack Ruby was a nut job himself. He was known locally as just this motor mouth. He couldn't keep a secret if his life depended on it, the worst conspiracy person you could ever have. Very, very, very tenuous ties to any mob or anything like that. He just didn't really have it.
He was a nightclub owner. He was a go-go dancer, nightclub owner.
And he actually snuck into a press conference a couple of days before the shooting. I don't know if you
know.
He literally went to the press conference with the DA and asked a question. or corrected him on some concept of the name of the pro Cuba group that Oswald was in, because everybody in his family, everybody in Ruby's family, and I have read a decent amount on this topic before.
Amazing.
I listened to the end that he was deeply upset.
Many were.
Yeah. I mean, and indicated to all his family, and really was just not a very hinged person.
I don't think people comprehend the uproar among the right wing in America, which was significant, about the idea that Kennedy did not see the invasion through to success. There was a whole lot of very frustrated people that, are you kidding me? You're going to let a Marxist country be, and clearly what would be a base for the Soviet Union, be 90 miles away from us.
And on the flip side, Oswald, this is America. Come on, man. And then Oswald on the other side being mad at him. I mean, it wasn't necessarily right wing, but I mean, it seems very, very plausible the way it actually went down. And what is Occam's razor? The most obvious is typically correct. I usually try to deviate from that. But in this case, absolutely, I do. I don't – there's – because every – you know, the grassy knoll and the magic bullet and even the unscathed – I mean, it lends itself. But if you – upon further analysis, it's all very reasonable. I mean, you'll hear a lot of stuff that's not true, like that one of the bullets, the one that was in Connolly's stretcher. I mean, literally a bullet was there, supposedly unscathed, but it wasn't. I've seen pictures of it. It went through somebody. Oswald was a Marine. He was a sniper. He could shoot. I mean, he could make that shot. It wasn't that hard of a shot. There was the Umbrella Man. Have you ever heard the Umbrella Man?
Don't know the Umbrella Man.
The Umbrella Man on the grassy knoll on a sunny day, no rain, there's a man with an umbrella.
That's who it was.
That's nutty. Well, no, the theory on there, the conspiracy theory on that one is that he was part of it and that he fired a dart at Kennedy to keep him from, to like sedate him or something like that. Or that when he put, it was a signal to do it, cause it was so out of place.
Yeah.
And they tracked that guy down a decade later. He came forward actually after the government investigation and stuff, but he goes, no, it was me. And it was him. And he was protesting, that Kennedy was an appeaser.
There's
your segue, and that the umbrella was kind of the symbol of Neville Chamberlain, who always had an umbrella back in the pre-World War II. So that, all those conspiracies, and this guy was just protesting, based upon a Neville Chamberlain, which would have made sense more so
to nobody. Well, if I see some guy with an umbrella,
apparently it was a thing back then.
I can't imagine being able to draw the conclusion. I'm mad at you for being.
Well,
a
it's probably a little more plausible than the poison dart thing, but yeah, that was another. I love the offshoot conspiracy theories. It starts with Oswald, then it goes to Ruby, then it goes to Grassy Knoll, then it goes to the sound analysis of where the bullets, and then. The head,
back and forth.
And then you got umbrella man. And there's probably more, but you'll never get me to believe that like Lyndon Johnson or a government entity.
We had good reason to. LBJ was under tremendous pressure because right before the assassination took place, Newsweek and Time were in the U.S. House Committee. The two new news organizations were preparing reports on LBJ's incredible campaign. How shall I put it? LBJ paid off a lot of people, And there was actually a committee hearing taking place on the morning of the assassination, where one of the bag men was proving, how money was being transferred from LBJ's different operations to the places where it needed to go. And he was days away from being seriously, seriously embarrassed, way more than Nixon was, when he gave his Checkers speech. I mean, it was about to get really bad.
Really?
And yeah. And then all of a sudden those problems disappeared and all of it got dropped. Does that make it a conspiracy? It makes it a heck of a coincidence, an incredibly fortuitous coincidence. But, you know, where was Robert Kennedy to raise all of that when he had the ability to do it? And he did. The levers of government were completely sympathetic to him, and much could have been done had he wanted them done. And he hated Johnson, but did absolutely nothing. This has got to be the most tedious conversation. Daniel's laughing like, I can't believe this is some old guy talk.
Oh yeah.
Gosh, what is it? 60 years ago. But we grew up with it. We grew up talking about it and hearing about it. And there was always that uncle who was as read up on it as you could imagine.
Well, anybody under 20, I guess, would just not have any idea what we're talking about. Kind of like kind of like a dial phone. Like
yeah,
that,
yeah,
like that video
I saw
you sent.
That, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I didn't remember that I sent that to you. But for people of our generation, there's a video on one of the social media sites where they put an old fashioned rotary phone in front of a couple of teenage boys and they hand them a piece of paper that just has an ordinary telephone number on it. And the challenge is call this number.
Yeah. Spoiler now, alert, phone one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the phone one, anybody who I would say is 40 years or older knows how to use a rotary phone. It wouldn't occur to you. I bet you would have a hard time thinking up what these kids did when they're trying to figure it out. You never would have been able to figure out any way other than the correct way to dial the rotary phone. But these kids, man, they could not solve the puzzle.
Well, it was the funniest part is they didn't even take the
receiver off the hook.
And like, even if they did it right, it wasn't gonna work. I mean, there was just like, these two kids, little patron saints of lost causes here. I mean, they're not going to get where they need to go.
I mean, this is how we get internet famous, is producing boomer content, which is, let me give you some boomer technology, like a TV clicker from 1975. Yeah. Well, see, you're laughing, but you know, TV clicker was a real thing. Or how do you use a Betamax TV? Or how do you change the oil on your car? Good luck with that.
You can't even do that anymore. I always change the oil in my car. I remember the first remote or clicker.
Yeah.
Two buttons. Two silver buttons on that. Oh, yeah. I remember it. It was a JCPenney TV. And it had literally maybe an inch long by a quarter of an inch silver buttons on it. And that was it. It was on, off. And then the other one changed the channel, and it just went down the list. Like,
right? It was an up down button.
Up down, and well, wasn't it just you hit it? It went down, and it would just keep going down until it would pop back up and go back down. And that was it. Two buttons, and they didn't always work real good. And I mean, and I remember it would kind of go on the blink for a while. You'd have to actually get up and change the channel because, which
is the worst thing in the world. That was awful to get up and change the channel.
And then another strange contraption came in the house one day called the microwave.
Yeah, which you're not allowed to stand in front of.
Right. Exactly. I mean, I was scared of the thing. So I don't know how we get on that topic, but man, I'm old
fogies.
Well,
but that's what I'm saying is, old fogies with their old technology and, you know, watching the youths of today trying to use it. It's hilarious. That's how we get an internet famous. All right. Well, that's our show. It really is.
Really?
Yeah. Unless you got something else, because it's just brutal.
I'm hungry. So yeah.
Once you start talking about how it was way back then, you know, you've just about run out of things to say.
I was gonna go. So, I had Roswell and Jimi Hendrix and the Elvis conspiracy that he died of constipation. I mean, all these.
I thought
things.
He did. Well, let's save that because here's the biggest problem with the show, of this particular show is we needed Sean here because he's such a conspiracy theory guy. Mm. I'm not going to accuse him of being a flat earther, but maybe he has some tendencies in that direction, and I kind of hope that he does, so that and we can talk about the multiverse and the Big Bang theory and intelligent life on other planets. There's a lot of places to go, but we're kind of holding our water this week,
and that's what's in the
your file of truth.
Oh, the file of truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has a name.
So we'll hold the water for this week. Next week, hopefully Sean will be feeling better and he won't break his axle or anything like that. And we'll be ready to go.
Sounds like a plan.
That's a plan. All right. Otherwise, thanks for joining us. That's our most peculiar show I think we've ever done. And we will see you next week.